He's thinking about it. And he's thinking about how God has comforted him, and he wants to talk about it. So he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves all praise and glory. He is the Father of all compassion and the God of comfort." The Father of all compassion and the God of comfort. So what do we learn about comfort here in these first few verses? Well, the first one's the most obvious. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Comfort and compassion come directly from God. That's the first thing that we see here. It's really obvious, but we also ask the question, what does it mean that He is the Father of compassion? What does it mean that He is the God of comfort? Is it that compassion and comfort? He's the Father of compassion. What could it possibly mean? The Father of compassion. Did He give birth to compassion? Does the Father of compassion mean that He controls compassion? Does that mean that compassion comes from Him? Or even another option, which is absolutely allowed in the language. It's not obvious in English. But when you say Father of compassion, a lot of times when you have two nouns that are separated by this word of, Father of compassion, you can take the second one and you put it in front as an adjective. And it describes the Father. So He's not the Father of compassion, He's the compassionate Father. Praise be to the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the compassionate Father. Which of these is right? They're all allowed linguistically. This is one of those times where it's probably all of the above. Okay? E. All of the above. He's probably the one who controls compassion. He's the one who divvies up compassion. He's the one who created compassion. And He is the compassionate Father. All at the same time. And it reminds us of this verse in Psalm 103. Speaking of Father and compassion, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Compassion comes from God. And Paul wants to spend a few moments talking about this compassion. He says, He's the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. See, this is important because you have a little number four after comfort. And this little four is misplaced. If you could, I would actually tell you to white it out. Just get rid of it. Because it breaks up a verse where it doesn't need to be broken up. Listen to this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all trouble. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all trouble. That is a phrase that needs to be read together. He's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all trouble. Do you hear the symmetry behind it? And so we understand from these two phrases, the God of all comfort who comforts us in all trouble. Number one, you are going to have trouble. You can bet on it. You can count on it. It is coming if it hasn't already come to you. Please don't be surprised when trouble comes your way. Say, oh God, it's unfair. They don't have trouble. I have so much trouble. I'm telling you now, God is telling us, trouble is coming. When it comes, you don't say, I'm so surprised, it's so unfair. He said, no, this is right. Yep, I heard it in church. Paul tells us, He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all trouble, all kinds of trouble. All kinds of trouble, which he says here, if you keep reading, all kinds of trouble. Look at verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ. Is that good news? We share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ. Yeah, I hope you didn't expect to come here today to feel good about life. Okay? This is a downer message. You know that word abundantly? Abundantly? You know where else that word is? Think about this. Matthew 14:20. Jesus is feeding the multitudes, right? They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over, abundant, overflowing. You know what Paul says about trouble in life? It overflows more than you can handle. If you're in a place where you look around in your life and you find yourselves in a place of relative calm and peace and quiet, wonderful. It's awesome. It's great to be there. We talked about this last week in Sunday school. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, David is now he's been coronated king over all the land. And it says in chapter 7, he looks around and he has peace from all his enemies. North, east, south, west. You look, well, they don't really have neighbors to the west, but north, east, and south, and Israel. And David the king says, nobody's plotting to kill me. Nobody is plotting to fight with us right now. I have peace. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to be in that place. It really is. You look around and we talked about this last week in class. Financially, I'm okay. My marriage is good. My kids, you know, they're okay. Work situation, it's steady, it's secure. My school, my grades are as good as I'm doing my best. Mom and Dad, I'm doing my best. Socially, with my friends, we're in a good place. There's no fighting. No one's mad at me. I look around and, man, it's quiet. It's quiet. That's a good thing. It really is. But I have news for you, folks. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Out of nowhere, one of these areas, or more, are going to start to make noise. It's not my message. It's not from my experience that I would necessarily say this. It is from Paul. God is the God of all comfort who helps us in all kinds of troubles, troubles which overflow in our lives, that we have them in abundance. And I'm probably thinking Paul here is thinking first and foremost about Christian suffering in the midst of persecution. Let's be fair. That's probably what he's talking about. Okay? Which we admittedly don't experience very often, if at all. Okay? But I also think we can easily extrapolate this into all kinds of suffering. It's not just Christian persecution, which we don't experience, not to their degree, but it's also relationship suffering, mental stress suffering, physical suffering, financial, and anything, all of these things that just bring us to a place of worry and stress, Paul says, expect it. It's coming. But don't worry. Because as much as you have all kinds of trouble, again, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort. It is so stark in the language. All comfort, all trouble. All trouble, we know. Many of us have experienced lots and lots of trouble. Maybe even you've said to yourself, I've got more than my fair share of trouble. No, that's not true. That is a wrong idea. Don't ever say that. It's not true. You've never had more than your fair share of trouble, okay? Your fair share of trouble is all kinds of trouble, overflowing trouble. That's fair. If you've had less than that, then okay. Then that's good for you. Good job. Don't ever say I've had more than my fair share of trouble. No, that's not true. But the beauty is, for every trouble, there is comfort from God. It matches. One for one. Just as trouble overflows, verse 5, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also comfort overflows. He matches it. He matches our trouble with His comfort. His comfort is overwhelming, and it is enough for us. It overflows. And it meets us where we are at. So number one, first thing is God. God is the God of comfort. Comfort comes from Him. Comfort, the comfort that comes from God, matches exactly enough according to the trouble that we experience, which will be heavy at times. That's what it seems to say. What else do we learn about trouble and comfort? We find out as we keep reading, or as we just meditate on this passage again, He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. This is very interesting. When we say that God is the God of comfort, that God provides for us comfort, I got to tell you, there is no comfort magic pill. There is no comfort secret prayer that God brings you comfort. Now again, I'm not saying that you can never get comfort from those sources, the sort of your personal relationship one-on-one with God. Sure, sure, yes. But that's not Paul's point here. What does Paul say? He says, God comforts you so that you can turn around and in this place, in this community, brothers and sisters rubbing shoulders, you comfort somebody else with the same comfort you yourself received from God. And you know where you got comforted, probably? All right, listen to this, okay? God comforts you so that you might comfort somebody else with the same comfort you received from God. Where'd you get your comfort? Don't say from God. Where'd you get your comfort? Someone be bold. Give it a shot. Just don't say from God. God comforts you so that you might comfort somebody else with the same comfort you receive from God. But it's not from God. Not from the Spirit. Not from Jesus. From somebody else. You were comforted from somebody else, which comes from God, but it comes by means of people. Sometimes we want the magic spiritual answer. And the spiritual magic answer is you. You are the magic answer. Let's not downplay the purpose of relationship in church. How vital is it that we participate in community here? This is God's means of providing comfort for people. God said, oh man, my people, they're hurting. I am the God of all comfort. I have all sources of comfort, all kinds of comfort, and I want to provide it for them. I could just send an angel or give them a dream or just make them feel better. No, I don't want to do that. I'm going to enable them to comfort each other. And then they will then realize how much they need each other and ultimately how much they need me. The comfort comes from me, through them. My father used to always do this. We'd pray before meals. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this food that you provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And my father would say, as a joke, but you know, kind of like he's thinking, hey, he'd say, hey, son, who bought this food?
You did.
How come you don't thank me? Okay, let's pray again. Dear God, thank you for the food. Thank you for Dad. I thank God who provided me a father who provides me food. The ultimate source is from God through people. Can we understand that concept? It's not very hard. It's not very complicated. God comforts us, and the magic comfort, the God of all comfort, who can comfort us in all kinds of trouble, that comfort comes through people. Through people, many of us who have been through the things that you might be going through. It doesn't come from some mystical source. You don't have to go out into the woods, hike a mountain to find God's comfort. God's comfort is here, as we are aware that He does this. So on the one hand, if you come in here this week and you are just beaten up and torn up, and if you don't tell me, I can't help you. If you don't turn to a brother or a sister in your Sunday school class or in your fellowship or your prayer group or your small group, and if you don't tell them, how can we help you? So number one, there's kind of a responsibility that we see this as a place to be able to say these kinds of things. If you don't tell me, I can't help you, but if you tell me, I'll do my best. And hopefully, not just instantaneously, but hopefully it brings you comfort. Because God is going to provide for you that through me, through people. You know, I used to always wonder as a child, now, this idea of God, we comfort others with the comfort that we receive from God. Part of it sort of implies a bit of empathy. If you go through some sort of very difficult circumstance, something in your marriage, or I don't want to bring up real life because I know that if I do, I'm going to touch somebody. I don't want to necessarily do that. Okay, something happened. You're riding your bike and the chain fell off. Okay, I gotta walk my bike home. It's terrible. You come to church. How was your week? Oh, it was bad. I was at school and we used to ride our bikes to school. My chain fell off. Couldn't fix it. That happened to me. It was awful, huh? Oh yeah, it was awful. I feel better. There is this implication of empathy here, that when you endure life, you're able to help people. Deal with the same things that you dealt with. You all know my mother passed when I was a boy. I used to look, based on 2 Corinthians, when am I ever going to be able to use this experience to help somebody? Because I want to help somebody. I've got this experience in life, and I want to provide comfort for somebody who's dealing with something where they need comfort in a situation that I can relate to. I just kind of always had this little radar in my mind of, well, okay, I'm looking around, right? It was a terrible, terrible circumstance. And then I came to this church. And in the first year of coming to this church, there was a boy. And his father passed away in the first year that I was here. A boy and a girl. The girl was in high school. The boy was in elementary school. Probably about 11. You all know this boy. I'm not going to say who it is, but Anthony's thinking, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, maybe this is why. Now it's my time. Now it's my time to provide for this boy comfort that I received as a boy. And you know where my comfort came from? Where did my comfort come from? My comfort came from Uncle George. My comfort came from Pastor Wang. My comfort came from people. Because that's what God does. God wants to use us and let us participate. We're going to have to stop short here, but as he continues to say, this is our role in church, is to participate in the work, the spiritual work that comes from heaven as we endure these hardships, these sufferings. We're not done yet, though, okay? There's actually quite a few things more to say about comfort that I will continue in a week, so I want you to sort of keep your bookmark there. In the meantime, let me just say, for those of us who are experiencing hardship and tragedy and turmoil, number one, it is not more than your fair share. We need to expect it. We need to expect it because this world is awful. We need to keep our eyes on a world that is better, that is our hope and our future. Number two, when we are able to express it, this is where God will begin to comfort us, right here through the people that are around you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we look to you again, Lord, for comfort that comes only from you. You are the God of all comfort, the Father of compassion, who comforts us in all kinds of trouble so that we might comfort those with the comfort that we received from you. What a wonderfully beautiful concept. Thank you so much, Lord, that we are Christians, not in isolation, but in community. Allow us, Father, to live that kind of community, to be transformed by the wealth from our Savior Jesus, ultimately for your glory and thankfully for our comfort. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand together and sing songs in response.